Welcome to the Pneuma Church Podcast. Wherever you are in the world, we are so glad you've joined us. Our prayer is that this message will reveal more of who our Heavenly Father is as we grow deeper in intimacy with Jesus. Enjoy the message.
If I haven't met you before, like Sheree just introduced me, my name's Matt, and my journey has been like angels, like many people in this house. I've been discipled and God changed my life through journeying with others. And so I want to speak to you tonight. We're going to open the word, if that's all right. Can I preach a sermon to you? Okay, good. That's good. Open your Bibles, if you can, to Acts chapter 2. I want to get straight in. Sheree basically preached my sermon just then. We're speaking on what does it mean to raise someone today? Talking on reaching someone, raising someone, releasing someone, this whole couple of weeks in raising the next generation and making disciples of every generation. And today, my title is very simple. If you're taking notes, it's called Being Formed. Being Formed. But Acts chapter 2, verse 42, it's towards the end of the chapter, and it would say this. I'm in the ESV, so if you're in the Passion Translation, you're sorry. Anyway. Verse 42, and they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching, to the fellowship, to the breaking of bread, and to the prayers. Verse 43, and awe came upon every soul. Many signs and wonders were being done through the apostles. And all who believed were together, and they had all things in common. And they were selling their possessions, their belongings, and distributing the proceeds to all as any had need. Verse 46, and day by day, they're attending the temple together. They were breaking bread in their homes. They received food with glad, generous hearts and praising God for having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to their number day by day those who were being saved. Why don't you, fans? We're going to pray. Father, we just thank you so much for your word. I thank you for your house. I thank you for, Lord, the community of believers here, Lord. As we gather around your word, we pray, convict us, teach us, change us, mold us, and speak to us. In Jesus' name, amen. So I want to speak to you today around a topic I love called being formed. I think discipleship in my eyes and in the eyes of most people who I've read quite a few books. There's quite a few things out there you can read on discipleship. What does it mean? I've been convicted around this one phrase which was written, and it says this. It's discipleship is the process of being formed in the image of Christ for the sake of others. And I've never found a better definition. And I think we're going to begin to unpack this phrase of being formed, the process of being formed. And the scripture that we're launching out of everything today in this is centered around the Acts church. Many of us have read Book of Acts. Maybe you've read chapter 2, chapter 3, you see the Holy Spirit come. But you see something really unique happen. Once a group of people, it says about 3,000 souls a couple of verses before, were added to the church. You've got like 120 believers who've been filled with the Holy Spirit, and then suddenly 3,000 get added at Pentecost. And suddenly there's this group of people who are working out, how do I build my life around Christ? They're learning how to do this. They're learning how to form themselves, how to follow in the footsteps of Jesus. And I've really felt just convicted that we would turn our attention back today. Verse 42 is really where I'm just going to camp, and I'm going to suggest that there's some really simple things that we can learn and reapply and not ignore out of Scripture. Verse 42, I'm just going to read it again, and we're going to begin to break some of this stuff down. Verse 42, it says they devoted themselves. Devotion required a lot of persistence. It's a word in the original language. It's really just putting a lot of focus and intent. I'm building my life around something. There's a reason that the disciples had to do this, and I think it's the same in our culture. It's because busyness and stuff can begin to steal your focus from Christ. They devoted themselves to something. They didn't leave their lives in just an encounter. But they began to devote themselves to, one, the apostles' teaching, two, to the fellowship, three, to the breaking of bread, and four, the prayers. I'm going to speak into these three things. They centered their lives around prayer, the word, and community, and if I'm really just going to preach the word, they also center themselves around the Lord's Supper, communion. And these were four things, and I'm really just going to preach on the three of them, but if I preach scripture plainly, it's four things that were utterly formational to their journey of the early church, and it formed who they were. It let them receive Christ, grow in Christ, and express it in a community. And this is what I believe that we can grow in today. So I want to touch on, before we get into those things, on the word devoted. There's a reason that they had to be devoted to something. And it's because of this. No one ever became like Christ accidentally. I've never met anyone, myself, any mentor, any person ever who has accidentally become like Christ, ever. It requires intentionality. They asked themselves, after they had been filled and encountered the Holy Spirit, they asked themselves this: who am I becoming and what is forming me? Same question that Pastor Sheree just asked us before. Who am I discipling and who is discipling me? The question that I pose to us as we dive into scripture today: who am I becoming and what is forming me? This is an important question that you should care about, because no one's on the sidelines of this. If you feel like you've got a full-time job and you're too busy for being formed, I've got bad news for you. You're already being formed. The reality of being human is that regardless of where you're at, if you've just turned your attention to Christ, you followed him for a couple of years, your formation journey started when you were born. You didn't get to choose that. It's not a question of if I am being formed. It's not a question of, okay, I'm not suddenly being formed when I decide for Christ. You've been formed by everything: your phone, your schedule, your job, the school that you went to, your parents, your family, whatever it looks like. Every single person, no one excluded, no one's on the sideline, you've been formed by something. The question is not, okay, am I going to take my formation journey seriously? Okay, yeah, cool. Am I being formed? That's the wrong question you've got to ask yourself. The right question is this: what's forming me? This is discipleship. If you ask this question to yourself daily, weekly, you begin to examine your heart: what is forming me? Then you begin to posture yourself. The Bible says this: I think on my ways and then I turn my feet to your testimonies. I think of where I'm going. What is forming me? Then I turn my feet to your testimonies. No one ever became like Jesus accidentally. So number one, we observe through scripture that they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching, to the word. We have this amazing culture value at Newman, and I prefer to ask the question that's attached to the culture. It says this: what does God's word say about that? This is something that we begin to ask ourselves and we examine our lives. That the apostles and the disciples, the early disciples, they begin to examine their lives through the lens of scripture. They had a rhythm of opening the scriptures. Even before Bibles were commonly accessible, they gathered around the teaching of the word. Why? Because they wanted to be formed by it. They wanted to be formed by the word of God more than the demands of the world. I wonder, where does that sit with us today? Have I slipped from letting myself being formed by the word of God? We ask ourselves, what does God's word say about that? What does his word say about it? I find it really convicting. Everyone, we've all heard these quotes sometimes, but we can hear these things where every single person, I'm sure, you've got a Bible on your phone. You've got a Bible on probably in your hands, hopefully. Some of us have got multiple Bibles. The early church, the only place they could open scripture was in community. They couldn't do it anywhere else. People died having letters of scripture. Some, if you fast forward even a couple of hundred years into church history, people gave their lives for things that we have in the word of God. And I don't read it like that. I don't treasure it like that. People gave up their livelihoods just to hold even just a gospel. Why? Because they hold value in it. They decided that they were going to let themselves be formed by the word of God. Number two, they had prayer as a rhythm. They devoted themselves to the prayers. It's interesting, the prayers. What does that mean? That sounds very like Catholic. It sounds very just rigid in the prayers. Okay, cool. They actually had an hour of prayer. And I think we have an hour of prayer as a community as well at church. We have prayer power. We have a couple of things. We have life groups. We have things like that. They had a rhythm of, I'm going to be in a community together and praying over something. Why? Because prayer forms us. It keeps us attentive to God. Eugene Peterson says that Prayer is a responding act to God. We are never the first people to speak. We're entering into a conversation that God has been having with humanity for thousands of years, for all of eternity. We're entering into something. Prayer is never us beginning to initiate something with God to get his attention, but because we have his attention, that is how we respond. What is this response? It forms us. This is what the early church did. The disciples recognized that Jesus, even in Luke 11, he taught them to pray. They asked him, Lord, teach us to pray. In Luke 18, Jesus said a parable that would teach them to pray and not lose heart. There was something that they knew. Prayer formed them. We have a culture, I think, that's similar. I think I just get convicted as we walk through verse 42. Do I pray about stuff more than I worry about stuff? Do I plan stuff more than I pray for it? What is my schedule forming more? Is it forming me or is Christ? And I feel the invitation of God today. I feel like I'm just knocking on our hearts. He's been knocking on my heart all worship, all of this week. What is forming me? What are you letting form your discipleship journey to Christ? It's the process of being formed in the image of Christ for the sake of others. They were people of prayer. They had conversation with God. And this is the real point that I really want to main into. But before I go into community, the fellowship and community, I will touch on communion because scripture does. I think the early church, this pattern, many scholars have agreed that verse 42, Acts 2:42 is one of the earliest expressions of what devotion life looked like for a disciple. They did it with community. They opened scripture. They prayed. They had communion. And I want to pose to us, I'm not going to major on this point, but how formational is communion to your walk with Christ? Or is it something that is just a side thing? Is remembering the work of Christ foundational or not? It needs to be. Why? I think the early church had it right. I think they had it right. But they did that and this is the major thing that I want to major on. They did it in community. They did it in community. Pastor Thomas spoke this morning on the fact that community is the place where all of these things were unpacked. Scripture, word, everything. People began to wrestle and learn how to be like Christ in family. And I think it's correct. I think it's absolutely correct. And I have a strong conviction that the disciples, the early church, they began to view fellowship as something formational. And I've got the same question to us today. Do we? Is community, is being a part of the body formational to your journey in Christ? I would say it is. I would challenge us. I think sometimes we're gathering around scripture and word. That's very evangelical of us, but I think I disagree with that. We're just gathering around those two things. I think according to scripture, as we look in this, they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching, number one. Number two, before prayer, the fellowship. Fellowship. They saw community participating in the family of God just as formational as praying. I get convicted by this, but I think it's true because it refines us. Does not being in the family of God begin to call Christ out in us, and it begins to call the stuff that's not like Christ out of us as well? It begins to bubble up. I think that's the blessing of community. Community isn't unspiritual, it's worship. I have a conviction that participating in the relationship of the family of God, maybe in the foyer before the service or after the service, is just as formational as the word of God to our journey in Christ. The early church thought this, why don't we? I think this is seen throughout all of the Bible. Paul wrote community letters to the community. He wrote only three letters to individuals, but they were in community. He addresses, many of us who have read 1 Corinthians, 2 Corinthians, to a community that are wrestling to apply the word of God and struggling in it, and he cares. It's because community is the place that we are formed. It's the process of being formed into the image of Christ. Why? For the sake of others. Community is good because it's not just about us. It's about what I grow in. Yes, it's what about I receive. I copy the faith of others and I begin to learn from them. But it's the place where I get to give as well. I loved that we raised hands for anyone who's been maybe in church for the last 12 months or newer. And I hope you took note of that. If you've been in church more than 3 years, you've got a responsibility as a father, as a mother, as a brother, as a sister of Christ to encourage, to be part of family. If you hear that just comes in and out, and I'm here to clock in and out of church, I want to suggest to you, are you doing church in a way that is formational, or is it just prayer and word today? I think scripture, if we lose community, then I think it loses the context of power. It loses its potency sometimes. I'm convicted by this. Do I view community as obligation or formation? You see, fam, oh my gosh, I'm speaking like I'm in youth. Family, fam. Timothy, we see examples of this. Paul was raised at Antioch. He encountered God in Acts chapter 9, but he was raised as a disciple in Antioch and then released. And he saw that was important. Timothy was raised in discipleship, in community, by Paul. Look what he says here. I've got the scriptures alongside. I think this is 2 Timothy 3. This is verse 10. He says this, "You, Timothy, you followed my teaching." Look how personal and discipleship language this is. He says this, "You followed my teaching, my conduct, my aim in life, my faith, my patience, my love, my steadfastness, my persecutions, my sufferings that happened to me at Antioch and Iconium and Lystra. The persecutions I endured, yet for all of them, the Lord rescued me." Pause there. Do you see the intimacy that of discipleship language here? He's saying, you've watched me follow Christ. And I want to suggest you cannot do that if we clock in and out of church. We need a place where we're safe enough. If you've been a Christian for many years, we need to become a people that is creating an atmosphere that's safe enough to wrestle and work out how to follow Christ. But one, if you've been here for a while, you have a responsibility to show people the way. To be someone that I can look at you and say, no, I can follow even the way that you have, your conduct, your aim in life, your faith, your patience, your love, your steadfastness. So the challenge is to both of us, if you're new to church today or if you've been around for ages, do I participate in the family of God and does that form me? Formation is not just about what I receive, it's about what I give. It's about what I give. It's about what I give. The early believers did not have a separation between community, prayer and word. It wasn't my prayer time and then my devotion time and then community time. It was all together. It's like that in a lot of things. We think salvation, people are like, oh, do you get saved after you get baptized or is it before? It was all one event. People were filled in the Spirit, baptized and saved in the one event. There's no separation. It was only until later that people began to do that. And it's like this in everything. They only did everything. They did this together in homes. They broke bread in their homes. They began to take communion. They began to open scripture. They began to wrestle this out. They began to learn from older believers how to walk with Christ. And I think that we need to come back to that today. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching, to the fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to the prayers. What was the result? Verse 43, awe came upon every soul. Many wonders and signs were being done through the apostles. All who believed, they held all things in common. They were selling their possessions. Do you see the unity and family that they have here? The disciples were raised in community. Timothy was raised in proximity. The early church grew through the family of God, practicing what they had learned from Christ. I want to suggest to us that these three pillars of community, of the word and of scripture, all three are important, but if one is lacking, we're not living in fullness. We're not living in this fullness of our discipleship to Christ. I had something written here. I feel convicted. Yeah, here it is. I read this the other day. I'm not convicted by someone who has a great devotional life, but no place to practice it. Friend, it's a far easier Christianity to just have me and Christ, but it's far inferior. Being a part of the body is one of the fundamental parts of what it means to be a Christian. So the question remains, what's forming me? Does community form me in my walk with Christ? The answer is yes. Many of us have been in moments where you will more likely have been annoyed at someone at church, or you're like, oh my gosh, there's that family again, there's the person who's got this interesting view and stuff. And we begin to, all the things great against us, we've all been there. I'm not talking about you, the person next to you. If we're honest, we become like that. I don't want to be in a life group with that guy because he's just got interesting political views, man. I'm just different to him. Or he's got some really interesting takes on Revelation. Or he's just got some. Or he's against speaking in tongues. Or we begin to call out these things and be like, oh, I'm just not about that. And what comes up in us as we begin to look at other people is not a person of love, but it's a person of all the things that are really not the fruit of the Spirit. This is the blessing of community. That moment is the blessing of community. Not the things where it's like, oh, it's also when I feel encouraged. But the moments, I think the blessing of community, the formation that community places in our discipleship to Christ, are more so the moments where you get agitated and Christ has to be formed in you. It's annoying. No one wants to hear it, but it's essential to your discipleship. Friends, we're more shaped by conflict, by disagreement, by annoyances and by grievances. We're more shaped by that than we are in moments. There's moments you can be encountered by God, and yes, you're shaped by that. But Eugene Peterson says this, and I think it's so true about discipleship. It's being formed, but it's this, a long obedience in the same direction with the same group of people. It's a long obedience in the same direction, and I will add, with the same group of people. It is easy, once you get annoyed at people, to leave churches and move churches to a group of more perfect people, and you will never find it. The commitment is this: Jesus has placed us in family. Why? Thomas read this out this morning, so that we would be built together and learn to seek Christ together despite difference. And I feel like that is the call today. They devoted themselves to preaching, the teaching of the word, and to, more than anything else, fellowship. To fellowship. You can turn to Philippians chapter 2. I haven't got this in my notes or on the screen, so you might need to follow me there. But I feel like this, I get convicted beginning to talk about things like this, because it asks me, am I just content with my devotional life with God and then what I receive instead of what I give? Community is one of the most important pillars of our walk with Christ. Philippians 2 says this, look what Paul says to a people who are seeking to live out what community is like. This is the attitude that we're supposed to have. Philippians 2, verse 1, it says this, if there is any encouragement in Christ, any comfort of love, any participation in the Spirit, any affection, any sympathy, verse 2, complete my joy by being of the same mind. The same mind, having the same love, being in full accord and of one mind. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or conceit, but in humility, count others more significant than yourselves. Let each of you not only look to his own interests. He doesn't rebuke that, but he says, don't just look to yourself, but look to the interests of others. That's the mind of Christ. Church, I feel that there's this pull and this call today to begin and continue to walk in family. Walk in family. It's the place where you wrestle. Life groups, for example, are a place that you begin to wrestle, disagree with, learn scripture, learn to pray. I am closer to God because of the people that I have become in life groups with. When I was 18, I came straight out of youth into a life group, and it was deeply formational. And I feel that sometimes we can do that for the first couple of years of our discipleship journey, and then we've received all we can, and then we clock off. But I want to say today, if you're fresh to faith, or if you're years down the journey even further than I am, I want to say we need you as family. We need you. The church needs you. We need you. Why? Because we would be devoted to scripture, to the word, to prayer, even to communion, but to fellowship, to doing that safely. I think there's something to speak about creating a family of God where it's safe to fail, safe to fall, safe to prophesy, safe to preach, safe to pray for people, safe to serve, safe to do this wrestle of Christianity with God. It's a long obedience in the same direction with the same group of people. Friend, we need you. You can't be on the sidelines. You're not just, you can tap out, oh, I'm too busy to be formed. No, 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 you're already being formed. The question is, what will you let form you? What will you let form you? Prayer, scripture, and community. Because no one ever has become like Christ by accident. So I want to come back. Why don't we stand? We're going to pray. I'm going to invite our worship team back, I feel like there's a couple of groups of people, but I hope that you hear today there's this call of scripture to participate in the family of God, to participate, to be even maybe re-engage where you've been offended before or give it a crack or not be so on the sidelines, or even if you're deeply involved here, if you're a young adult and you feel like you found community, your job, whether you like it or not, is to now extend the families, to look not just to the front row people when they gather here at the end of service, is to look behind and say, hey bro, I haven't met you before. What is forming us? Who are you becoming? Who is raising you? And who are you raising? What is forming you? Why don't you lift your hands? Father, we recognize in this moment, you stand at the door of our hearts, you knock. You're calling us, Lord, to re-engage, Father, to value community, Father, as a place where we begin to wrestle, where we begin to work out what it looks like to walk like Christ. And Father, I just get this sense, Lord, there's this response that you're just prompting in our hearts. What is that for you today? Lord, the whole point of this is that we would grow in the image of Christ for the sake of others. And there's a response. I feel like God's knocking on our hearts today. What is it? Is it a recommitment in this moment to the Word? I've done, if a church just does community and prayer, you can become real loopy. But if you're grounded in Scripture, it's good. But if you just do Scripture and prayer and there's no community, you just become this isolated church. If we just do Scripture and community, oh, it lacks power sometimes. But Lord, we need all three. What is it today? I feel like there's this invitation from God. What is it for you to recommit? God, I want to learn to wrestle Scripture again. I want to learn to pray. Feel that invitation. We feel that, we recognize that invitation. Holy Spirit, you can begin to just, I find it helpful to just lift my hands if you can. Lord, we lift these things. And the wrestle of it is saying, we say yes, Lord, to being formed in that way. We just say yes. We want to become, Lord, people who are not just going by, Lord, consuming or just being driven by schedule, Lord, but we want to become people, Lord, who are formed by Christ, your word, the believers around us, Lord, and by prayer. Oh, what is he calling you into today? What is he calling you into today?
Thank you for joining us. We hope that you enjoyed today's podcast. Now, we realize that not everyone has had the opportunity to respond to the good news of the gospel. And for this reason, in all of our services and platforms, we want to extend to you the opportunity to follow Jesus. The Bible teaches us that we have been created for a relationship with God. However, sin, which is essentially disobedience, independence, and disbelief, or us simply missing the mark, entered the world and separated us from God. Romans chapter 6, verse 23 says that the wages of sin is death. And a debt was owed, and the Bible tells us that he, Jesus, demonstrated his love for us, that while we were still sinners, he died for us. Jesus paid the penalty for our sin. John 3:16 says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life." God so loved the world that he gave us Jesus, that whoever believes in him will be saved. All that is required of anyone is that they believe in Jesus, the Son of God, who came, lived, died, and rose again so that we could be forgiven, made right, and given the right to become children of God and to have life forevermore with him. Today, you can begin a relationship with Jesus. To believe in him is to simply to respond with faith in our hearts and confess with our mouths that he is Lord. And we do that through a simple prayer. Follow along with me. Dear Jesus, I believe that you are the Son of God. I thank you that you love me and came to forgive me of my sin. I repent from my old way of life and I turn to follow you. I receive the free gift of eternal life, and I ask that you fill me with the Holy Spirit so that I can live a life of following after you. I thank you that I am born again as a child of God, and that I am a new creation in Christ Jesus. Amen. If you prayed this prayer for the first time, we would love to connect with you and connect you to your next step and the local church in your area. You can contact us on our website at newmar.church. Thanks for listening.